This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the hadith or the discussion about wastefulness and extravagance, whereby we mentioned that those individuals who waste or squander their wealth, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, they are the brethren, the allies, the friends of the devil, who squander and waste their wealth. And thus we find that the dangers of immense wealth in general, that it leads towards, unfortunately at times, or many times, that we can visualize the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this has been prophesied by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that wealth will overcome this Muslim ummah and they begin to vie and fight over it, and it will destroy them just like it destroyed the nations that came before, to such a degree that we find that in general the poor people will enter many hundreds of years before the rich people into Jannah. That doesn't mean that rich people won't get into Jannah, but this is sifatul amma, a general description, that poor people have less responsibility, less to respond to, less that will be asked about on the Day of Judgment. As for more wealth that a person possesses, or more authority, then a more questioning will begin to take place for that individual. And likewise, unfortunately, this excessive wealth leads towards idleness, leads towards wasting one's time. Thus, if a person doesn't have so much wealth, they may not waste that much of their time or that much of their life. But the more wealth that a person has, the more they begin under disguise of enjoying their life, honoring their life, living a good life, that they begin to waste their time. That is today's discussion, the hadith inside Sahih Bukhari. نِعْمَتَانِ مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِنَ النَّاسِ, there are two blessings that many individuals are unaware of these blessings. الصِّحَّةُ وَالْفَرَاغُ, good health and spare time. That is sadly the state of us. We don't seem to understand the importance of time, the value of time. We don't give enough importance to time, or the time that we remain upon this dunya, upon this earth. And thus we find Ahmiyatul Waqti fil Qur'an. If you study the Qur'an in great detail, you find such a great importance of time is delivered inside the Qur'an. Alternations of the night, the day, the sun, the moon, wal fajr, wal duha, wal layl, wal shams. All these various derivatives that we find inside the Qur'an are all speaking about the emphasis of time, the use of time. That's even towards the end of Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that He's made time, night and day. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Those are ibadur rahman, servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's placed night and day, خِلْفَةً, that they alternate, they follow one another. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَذَّكَّرَ أَوْ أَرَادَ شُكُورًا. Whoever wants to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever wants to reflect and ponder over that. This is all key elements inside the Qur'an of time, to such a degree that we find a whole surah entitled The Time, Surah Al-Asri, that we find a Meccan surah classified as one of the shortest surahs inside the Qur'an after Surah Al-Kawthar. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi mentioned, لَوْ أُنزِلَ هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ لَكَفَتْ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَنْهُ أَوْ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. If this surah had been sent down upon this Muslim ummah, it would suffice then. Just one surah, Surah Al-Asr, would suffice this Muslim ummah. That's why it's known as the surah of salvation, the surah of rescuing, the surah of deliverance. And that's why you find Al-Asr, ulama, the Fasir have mentioned, Al-Asr carries four general meanings inside here. Amma bima'na al-dahr, the meaning of just time in general, which the Quran aids this as well. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. Has not a time, a moment come over the human being that the human being was known for no existence, had no value, had no respect? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed in this human being the faculty of hearing, the faculty of seeing. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave rights and respect to the human being. But prior to this, the human being had no value. This is the one meaning of Al-Asr, is Al-Dahr, time, the time that we find. The second meaning of Al-Asr that ulama have mentioned is وقت الإنسان أو الإنسان على الأرض. The time of the human being, عمر ابن آدم. The lifespan of the human being upon the earth. That's classified as an asr. However long that a person lives, so that's the time of the individual. وقول الثالث هو وقت العصر. The actual time of asr, the late afternoon. وقول الرابع هو صلاة العصر. That al-asr here refers to the late afternoon prayer, salat al-asr. In the hadith inside Sahih Muslim that we find that the person who misses salat al-asr is as if that individual has lost all of their family members and all of their wealth. Imam of ulama of hadith, مثل Imam Nawawi inside Sharh, Imam Muslim mentioned, why is it mentioned about salat al-asr? Why not another prayer that a person loses their wealth, loses their children? Because why? This is a time whereby many people will retire, come back to their family members, or be engrossed inside their business, that Salat al-Asr, it misses them, it overcomes them, they delay it. And likewise, we can see inside the environment here in the winter days, how Salat is very, very close. Many people, maybe on a regular basis, delay Asr or even miss Asr, ask this question, what should I do now I've entered into Maghrib time? Person should be wary, person should be vigilant. A person has lost all of their wealth, all of their family, everything has been destroyed for a person who misses Salat al-Asr. But in essence, all of these four meanings all carry the same meaning. The importance of time, the importance of being focusing upon the time of their life upon this dunya. And that's why none of us will move. The foot of son of Adam will not move until he's asked about arba' or khamsa asha, asked about four or five things. وَعَنْ أُمْرِي عَنْ أُمْرِي فِيمَ أَفْنَاهُ. Regarding his life, his time. How did he spend his time? How did I spend my time? All of us. None of us will move on the day of judgment. This is going to be one of the prime questions that in your life, the prime of your life, how did you spend your life? What did you do with your life? Did you spend your life obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Unfortunately, that we find many of us, when it comes to the concept of time management, we find a weakness amongst ourselves. We think that time is something which is relevant to what is the Western world. The strange thing is that much of the Islamic world, sadly, not to sound political, ينظر إلى الغرب. They look at the West. They look at the West. But the sad thing is, the things that they take from the West, they don't apply them. They apply the futile things of the West. They don't look at the West of their management of time, the management of the structure, the management of their life. يعلمون الظاهرة من الحياة الدنيا. Allah praises these individuals. Inside the beginning of Surah Al-Rum, praises them. يعلمون الظاهرة من الحياة الدنيا. They know everything about this external world. فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, travel through the earth. Look how accurate they are. In Japan, if a train is 5 minutes late, all hell breaks out loose. Certificates have to be issued to people on the train that when they go to work to show their boss that I was delayed because the train was delayed by 5 minutes. Certificates, official certificates are given. You show it to your employee. This is what the reason why I'm late. This is how accurate these individuals are inside their life. But you find that we as Muslims, the least individual, we focus towards our life. And that's why they work and they rule over us. Don't be saddened, it's a fact. Even you study historical data, you find about these individuals, the land of Israel that we find. They got together in 1898. And they said, we're going to work hard and strive hard. And in 50 years' time, we'll have our own land. In 50 years' time, we'll have our own land. It's documented. These are facts that they wrote down. Lo and behold, 1948, you find the state of Israel. Why does Allah allow it? Why does Allah allow it to take place? لِأَنَّ نَحْنُ نَائِمِينَ سَاكِتِينَ. We are lazy. We are sleeping. We're squandering our time. Allah allowed it for a reason. To show. It's a factual document that's been documented. In 50 years' time, we'll have our own land, our own state, for our own people. Documented. Allah grants it to them. Because sunnat Allah al-ard, that every individual, وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Every man will have whatever he strives for. They strived as a nation. They strived as a people. They worked hard, politically. They lobbied. They did everything. They got what they wanted at the end. We can cry. We can complain. We can be just a few, or we are actually a large in number, they are few in number, push us out of our own lands. Because why? By idleness. Wasting of our time. Wasting of our life. Not structuring ourselves accordingly to defend ourselves appropriately. So these things won't happen to us. And it carries on. Even today,
People say that colonization, imperialism has finished. It hasn't finished. On paperwork, it may have finished. It still exists. Study in great detail. Doesn't it sound strange? African countries, Middle East countries, Far East countries, we have no relationship with their language. No disrespect to their language and their culture. We have no relationship. But how can African countries be speaking in French? How can countries in the Middle East, in the subcontinent, be speaking English to this day? It's their law. It's their constitution. It's their pride. Dave, how? How is that possible? Just a few individuals, a few million govern and rule over us, millions over us, and leave a stamp on our lands to this day. And even you study when the British ruled over us, over the subcontinent, they used to go and retreat inside Shimla or Simla. Both are the same cities, different pronunciation, which in essence is the name of a Hindu god that belongs to them. When they used to go and retreat in this location, study historical data about these individuals. We may think that these individuals, they're laxical individuals, they're foolish individuals. They were enjoying their summer. They were enjoying their lives. But they transported every single documentation by donkey to the mountainous range of Shimla. To do what? To still govern and rule over us. They're enjoying their life, but they're still governing over us. They're ruling over us. This is how foolish we are. A few hundreds of thousand individuals govern a land of millions. Even when they're relaxing, enjoying their life, they rule over us. It's a lesson of us to begin to reflect over our lives. What has our life become? Gaming, idleness, wasting time. Even grown-up individuals, cases that we deal with, grown-up men, going through divorce, going through family problems because they're addicted to playing games. This is how shallow some of us Muslims are, just playing games. Games like Fortnite that we find. What benefit is inside of many of the Shabab, many youth, spending hours on end idly wasting their time? Sports games, FIFA, COD that we find. Grown-up men, grown-up individuals. This is their aspiration. A short while, hours on end. Even if you find even watching sports that we have, people, Muslims say, oh, it's something to entertain, to relax our mind. This relaxation of your mind, if it leads you, watching football, watching sports, leads you to miss your salah, bil jama'ah, in the masjid, in congregation, lead you to do that, then this itself becomes haram itself. And Muslims will do that. Don't be surprised. Muslims will miss salah in jama'ah because why? A football match is taking place. And these football matches, they don't stop. Because one league after another league, one game after another game, one important game after another game. So on a regular basis, 3 to 4 times inside a week, or maybe beyond that, you don't attend the masjid. Why? Because you're watching a football match. Don't you think you're going to be asked about a day of judgment? Do you think Allah is going to ask about a match? And not to disrespect the Muslim players, just because they do sajda, that doesn't mean anything. That doesn't mean anything that some Muslims try to justify. A Muslim player does sajda, that's good for him. He wants to give shukr lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. He wants to show his faith, that's up to him. That doesn't in any way glorify Islam. That doesn't in any way give strength to Islam. That doesn't in any way give an excuse that this is something which is potential, which is correct. This should be the aspiration for us to do inside our lives. That's what people are trying to say. These are things that give glory and honor. These things don't give glory and honor to Islam. They don't mean anything in Islam. They're just futile activities that you find that some of us are so engrossed inside of that our whole life revolves around it as Muslims, which is something a very sad state affair. We travel through amongst us Muslims what we have become inside our lives that we find. And thus we find even the disguise of tourism that we find traveling through the earth and wasting our time and wasting our wealth. Time is actually our loss. That's why many of the ulama speak about time. And the loss of time that you find. Imam Hassan al-Basri mentioned, not a single dawn breaks out with two angels calling out, O son of Adam, I am a new day, and I witness your actions, so make the best out of me, because I shall never come back until the day of judgment. Every day, two angels will call out to an individual that this day will never come back again. So make the best of this day. Another statement he mentioned, man is nothing but a majmu'ah of days, a cluster of days that put together. And whenever a day passes, it takes away part of your body, takes part of you away from you. That's what insan is, human being is, a cluster of days put together. Every day that goes past, it's a drop of your blood, a drop of your time that's extracted from you, taken away from you. It doesn't come back. It doesn't revitalize. It's taken away from you. That's the end of that part of your body has been taken away from you. Likewise, he mentioned, I met people caring for their time much more than we care for our wealth. Just like we worry about our wealth, We're so accurate about our wealth, whether something is missing or something hasn't been given to us. But when it comes to time, we don't worry about our time. We can spend hours on end speaking. Even after salah that we find, even inside the masjid, outside the masjid, what do we find? Hours on end, a person can speak all the way from Dhuhr until Asr, Asr until Maghrib, Maghrib until Isha. Doing what? What are they doing? What benefit are they gaining to themselves or to this Muslim ummah that we find? He also mentioned Imam al-Hasan al-Basri. Al-Yawm Dayfuk. Wal-Dayf Murtahilun. Every day is your guest. And a guest eventually it leaves you, it has to leave you. Wal-Dayf Yahmaduka aw Yadhummuka. A guest will either praise you or blame you. That's what a guest normally does. Will thank you for entertaining him or her, taking care of them. That's what every day is. The day will either thank you or it will be an evidence against you or blame you that you wasted this day, you wasted this time. Even prior to this, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he mentioned, really day and night work in you, so you should work in them. Day and night they work in you, they come into you. You need to work within them to benefit your day and your night. And prior to this we find Umar ibn Khattab, whereby you find that when he was becoming Khalifa, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq advised him, said to him, he said, beware of the duties you owe to Allah during the day that will not be accepted during the night. There's actions you need to do during the daytime that will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the night time. There's actions during the night time you have to carry out that will never be accepted in the daytime by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as we find, unfortunately, some people, qada'us salah, making up of their prayers. Person may be working, person may be traveling, person may be doing something, person thinks they're busy. I'll pray at a later stage. Can I make a salah at a later stage? Some of the ulama have gone to the view, whoever leaves salah intentionally and makes it up at a later stage is not going to be accepted from that individual. It's a statement that exists amongst the fuqaha. Person who misses a salah intentionally will not be accepted even if they make it up at a later stage. So this concept needs to be uprooted of qada'us salah. That some people subconsciously they believe and pray your prayers at a later stage because we live in a Western world, in a Western environment. It's not appropriate to pray in public or to pray at work. No. Qada'u salah is there for a set reason. Alladhi nama an salatihi aw nasiya aw shughila an salah. Person who's fallen asleep or forgotten a prayer or they're trapped from offering their prayer. As for what general people, the excuse that they give is not accepted in the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of making these actions. Likewise, all the rest of Ramadan. The person, if they have no genuine excuses, you can't come and try to make Ramadan at a later stage, unless you was traveling, you was genuinely sick, or mother, etc. To think, come and make Ramadan at a later stage. This is what the Sharia is based on, Hajj as well. It's set days, set times, set location. Person has to go and perform Hajj at that time, can't make it up at a later stage, and travel at another location, another place, or another time, and say, I'm performing Hajj now for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thus we find that time is precious. Every set time they find is precious for the individual. So many different proverbs that ulama that they can collect and talk about time. Time is not just gold, it's precious. It's a precious element that we find that many of us we fail to understand. Al waqtu kasayf fa illam taqta'u yaqta'uka. Time is like a sword. If you don't strike it, it will strike you. That's what time is. It's sharp, it's swift. If you don't learn how to handle a sword appropriately, you'll only smite yourself. You'll only harm yourself. You'll only cut yourself. That's what time is. A person who's an intelligent individual knows how to use their time, how to use their life to gain the maximum benefit that we find. And likewise, unfortunately, the opposite. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. How many of our youth, idle minds, wasting their time in the language that we're just coaching, wasting their time. As many of you mentioned, these shisha lounges, environments that we find, hours on end, speaking about whatever they may claim to be world politics, Islamic politics, just a waste of time. Creating a gene of time wasters. Creating a generation who raising going to be what inside the life? Hatta ba'da ikhwa alladhina yusallun. Even some brothers who pray five times a day. Ma'indum ayyi shay illa salah. That's all that they have. I'm too busy. I can't work. I can't study. I can't fend. Ya akhi, there's been millions. There's been billions before you. Kanu yusallun. Who used to pray. Who used to earn a living. Who used to take care of their family. Who used to have a good life. So what's so special about you? That I just pray five times a day. That's it. Sit down on the dot. Take money from the government. What are you teaching your children? What are you teaching the people around you? To be lazy. To be stagnant. Then you speak about the problems in Muslim Ummah. This is one of the problems of Muslim Ummah. Stagnation, laziness, not being bothered about anything else, and then pretend to be bothered about other things. You want this Ummah to rise, then the hand that gives is stronger than the hand that takes. And remember that inside your lives. The hand that feeds you, you'll never rise against that hand. You'll never rise. It's a fact. It's a historical fact. Whoever fed you, you'll never rise up against them, because that's your master, that's your leader, that's your nourisher. But when people are self-sustained by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they don't need anybody's wealth. They don't need influence of people, because the world at the moment is full of influence. That's what it's full of. People influence people. They want to brainwash people with a certain methodology, with a certain life, with a certain concept, so people can be free to do whatever they want to do. But you are clouded. You are trapped. You only live your life in these parameters, but the rest of the world, the rest of the people do whatever they want to do. This is what we become inside our lives. No aspirations. وَحَتَّى الدُّنْيَوِيَّ. Even our shabab. Sorry to sound so harsh. Even the world. Look at the statistics of our education. Literacy. Education. Look at the statistics of Muslims. The highest rate of ethnic minorities or religious minorities inside prison at the moment is who? Is Muslims. Muslims. This is what we've become. This is what we've become inside this society. No value. What do you want to become? Study what most of the youth. Take a questionnaire and ask many of the youth, what is their life? What do they want to become? Just want to have a fast car, have money, have a good life, and whatever means that means. That's what you find amongst the biggest drug pushers inside our community at the moment, inside Newham, Tower Hamlets, Redbridge, is who? Muslims. That's a shame on us. Muslims. 20 years ago, what a respectable people that we were. Hard working, taking care of our environment, taking care of our people, taking care of everybody around us. Now, what do we look at? What do we aspire to be? What do many of the Muslim youth aspire to be? Trafficking drugs, selling drugs, supplying drugs, being a drug dealer, being a kingpin, carrying a piece inside their pocket, gunning down someone, stabbing someone, shooting someone. This is respect. This is what you deep down inside your heart, you think this is your life. That this is going to be something. And you can see the end result of many of these youth. Many youth, it was down to us. مَا نُصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. It was down to us, we would not pray upon these individuals. To send out a strong message that people who carry out such evil actions, there's no need to pray upon these individuals. Because people in the community make excuses. Excuses for these people, that these people, they do nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with them. We don't have these problems. Our head is so dug deep down inside the sand. Many of our parents, many of us, we can't even seem to understand. We have some serious problems inside our community. Serious problems. Of Muslim upon Muslim taking their lives. Shooting and killing one another. Over what? This is supposed to be izzah. This is glory. This is a sanctity of time, sanctity of life. But this is what we've become inside our lives. We don't know the value of time. We don't know the value of life that begins to take place. And thus you find, when a person would come and say, how I wish I'd advanced some good inside my life. يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِي قَدَّمْتُ لِحَيَاتِي. Person would say on that day, woe upon me. If only I sent something forward for my life. In other places, inside the Quran, inside Surah Al-Mu'minun, a person will say, رَبِّ جِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَبْتِ. Person say, oh my Lord, let me come back to this dunya. Let me come back upon this earth and carry out some righteous actions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, كَلَّ إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. These are only vain words, empty words. Finish. Then you find a very strange hadith inside Sahih al-Bukhari that we find. That a person, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes a person's life, Allah will accept the excuse of any person whose moment of death is delayed until he is at the age of 16, at the age of 60. Hadith is like Sahih Bukhari. Allah will not accept the excuse of an individual who reaches the age of 60. What does that mean? It means that Allah has given this person a long life, a good enough life to recognize that this is what I need to do inside my life. If a person goes beyond 60 and still disobeys Allah, doesn't pray, doesn't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't carry out the rules and regulations, then according to this hadith, there's no excuse for this individual. Condemned. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you find in general, that the average age of this Muslim ummah, as mentioned by the Prophet alayhi wasallam, bayna sitteen wa sab'een, is between 60 and 70. Obviously people will die before that, people die after that. But the average age of a Muslim on this earth is going to be between 60 and 70 years. Which is ample time. ample time for a person to nurture their life, to reflect over their life, to see their life. Rather, it should be before that. Person shouldn't, as they say, reach 1 foot inside the grave and then begin to reflect upon death and then begin to reflect upon their life. Because how many individuals, they never thought about death, but death came to them and took them when they least expected it. أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجِ مُشَيِّدًا. Wherever you are, death will come to you. Even happen to be inside fortified palaces. Like another place in the Quran, فَإِنَّهُ مُلَاقِيكُمْ. Death is going to meet you. Wherever you are, someday is going to meet you. There's no escape from it. But a person who's taken value of their time, value of their life, even if it's been a short life, as they say, but there's barakah inside their life. They hope to meet Allah. They aspire to meet Allah because they know that in that short span of time, they've exerted themselves to do as much as possible to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that time, moments and places that we find at times given extra value. And Riz ibn Abdus Salam begins to mention about there's certain general timings that we find and specific religious occasions and moments whereby that time it becomes precious for that individual. And a person needs to avail that time to increase in the doing of good deeds, the increase of obedience towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the month of Ramadan that we find, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Laylatul Qadr that we find, Ayyamul Hajj, Dhul Hijjah that we find, the first 10 days, the days of Hajj that we find. All of these are moments for the individual to avail that time or this place and location whereby ibadah is multiplied many times over for the individual. And likewise in this blessed month, Shahrullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessed month of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Muharram that we find, the first month of the Islamic calendar that we find, is a blessed moment that a person needs to avail this time, the day of Ashura that we find, the 10th day of Muharram that we find, was the day that Musa alayhi salam was delivered, was rescued that we find. And that's when the Prophet alayhi salam, he entered into Medina and the Jews were fasting on that day. He said, we have more right to Musa than these people. And if I live for the following year, I'll fast a day alongside with it, the 9th. So does it become sunnah to fast the 9th and the 10th, or at least the 10th, or the 10th and 11th. And in some works of humble fiqh that we find in Al-Mughni that we find, fast all 3 days. The 9th, 10th and the 11th, especially now at the moment, at times, difference of opinions about the sighting of the moon. So the safest approach will be fast all 3 days to ensure the person gains that reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the best of fasting after Ramadan is the fasting in the month of Allah's month, the month of Muharram in the hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Likewise, the hadith inside Bukhari that we find, I never saw the Messenger of Allah so keen to fast any day and give priority over it other than this day, the day of Ashura and this month. Meaning the month of Ramadan over Ramadan, hadith in Bukhari, is the emphasis of fasting the day of Ashura, the 10th day of Muharram that we find. For fasting the day of Ashura, so the hadith in Sahih Muslim, I hope that Allah will accept it as an expiation for the sins that went before the previous year. Those are amongst the benefits that we find. As for what these people, they begin to celebrate or they begin to lament during these days of Muharram that we find. This is all false. These are all false, batil beliefs that we find. Ahlul Shia, Rawafida, that we find these individuals, Ithna Ashariya, that we find that their belief is totally corrupt. And no Sunni Muslim should fall prey and say for the concept of unity, wahda, that we find that we share certain things with them. We don't share anything with these individuals. As-salah, yakhtalifun, they differ from us regarding their prayers. Inside their tashahud, they curse and they revile. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah is part of their prayers that we find. Wahatta al-Qur'an, they believe that the Qur'an that we Sunnis that we read is altered, it's not the right Qur'an. The real Qur'an, it lies with them. These are their beliefs. Concept taqiyah of deception that we find. So a person shouldn't think that, oh, why are we being light-hearted? We should be light-hearted towards these individuals. They are amongst the most clearest of enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The most clearest of enemies towards Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, towards the people of Sunnah. That's what Imam Malik mentioned. If you want to recognize who a person of Sunnah is and who Ahl al-Shia is, people of Sunnah are those people, الَّذِينَ يَحْمَدُونَ الصَّحَابَ يُحِبُّونَ الصَّحَابَ. They love the Sahaba, they praise the Sahaba. Wa ahlu shi'a, ar-rawafidah, they're the ones who, they curse, yal'an, they curse the Sahaba. Ummahatul mu'mineen, they curse the mothers of the believers. Adam in aqidatihim, this is their belief. No one should take it lightly and think this is a trivial affair. They curse the mothers of the believers. they curse the companions. They say, "Mu'adham al-Sahaba hum kuffar." Most of the companions are disbelievers in front of them. So a person should be wary about their belief. Keep a distance from them. Not even dialogue with these individuals. Unless a person has a strong aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah, knows what their belief of Ahlul Sunnah is, don't dialogue with these individuals. Because their intent is to create doubt, shubha, doubts. Ask questions. Where was such and such companion? Why did Umar refuse to bring a pen? So, are you writing utensil to the Prophet ﷺ because he wanted to write something? Why did Umar refuse? Where was Abu Hurairah at this time? Where was so-and-so at this time? It was only Ali who was burying, worried about the death of the Prophet ﷺ. Where was Abu Bakr at that time? All these shubahat that we find, they throw them inside the minds of Ahlul Sunnah to do what? To create discord. To create, that there may be something wrong with the Sahaba. As-Sahaba kulluhum udul. All of the Sahaba, as Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani mentioned, all of the Sahaba are trustworthy, are honest, are infallible. If you put them all together, infallible. Ijma' al-Sahaba that we find is a consensus to be followed. These people want to dismantle that. These are symbols of Ahlul Sunnah. That's all the books of Ahlul Sunnah. The final chapters always speak about Hubbu al-Sahaba. Hubbu al-Bayt. They all speak about the love of the Sahaba, the love of the companions, the love of the family members. What reason to refute these individuals, refute their beliefs? And that's we should strengthen our time in learning about what our beliefs are. That's why many of us, we don't know what our beliefs are. The wind, wherever the wind takes us, wherever somebody says something to us, we believe. Person should be rasikh fi aqidatihi. Person should be strong inside, firm inside their belief. Know what their belief is, what their tenets of belief are. That no matter whatever comes in front of them, by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're able to speak. This is what our belief is. Doesn't waver, doesn't wander, doesn't crumble, doesn't make excuses, doesn't say, well, the Sharia, it should be like this, it should be like that. No. This is the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You take it or you leave it. We're not imposing upon any individual. But that will only come when people begin to focus upon their time. Especially young individuals. The future of this Muslim Ummah lies upon young individuals. Ulama are dying out. It's prophesied ulama will die out that we find. And the only filling gap will be people, young individuals who have aspiration to learn the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go and learn it. These ulama, they were never old. They were once young inside their lives. But they spent their life studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ يُعَلِّمُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah will teach you. وَمَنْ يُؤْتَى الْحِكْمَةَ فَقَدْ أُوتِيَ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Whoever is given wisdom and given immense goodness. That's what we need to create inside our society, that the youth are full of a yearn of desire, of application, study of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to avail, to benefit from these days, benefit from our life, benefit from our time, that it becomes an evidence for us and not an evidence against us.